Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Welcome to Radical Nourishment. I'm Natasha Monnathau, an artist and narrative strategist with the Food Culture Collective. And today I'm joined by a crew of emerging audio artists.
I'm Dana Wedderburn.
I'm Shefali Patel.
I'm Nino McQuown.
I'm Alejandra Salazar.
These are the voices of our inaugural cohort of Ears in the Field. Ears in the Field is a fellowship that we convened at Food Culture Collective to uplift stories of sovereignty and self-determination found in moments big and small. So all season long on Radical Nourishment, the fellows and I are introducing you to some radically humane and creative voices working in various facets of food sovereignty. What do you have for us today, Ale?
Well, Natasha, today I'm bringing you a story about compost. As I was thinking about food and food cycles for this podcast, I found myself really focusing in on the tail end of that process. What happens to the foods that we don't eat, our scraps and our leftovers? Now, without spoiling too much, no pun intended, compost is about so much more than just recycling our organic food scraps. We're living through a climate crisis right now, and compost offers alternate pathways to help mitigate future disasters. But it's also a tool that helps people develop their independent farming practices and take ownership of the food they grow and eat. I wanted to explore these ideas within the context of New York City, which is where I and millions of other people live and contribute to our own food cycles. If you hear some city noises outside, that's probably why, because we're here. So I reached out to this compost center called Earth Matter, which I got that tip from Shefali, my fellow, to go ahead and go talk to them. Folks there guided me through a lot of these questions and shared their stories for this episode.
Ale, as a lifelong New Yorker myself, as someone born and raised in New York, I loved listening to the sounds of the city in this episode that you created, and I love thinking about compost as something that New York can do. Growing up there, it barely seemed possible to grow a vegetable or a flower growing up in the city. And so the idea of cycles of rot and regeneration happening there feels really hopeful to me.
Nino, I'm really happy to hear that because I had a really similar sentiment. I'm not a lifelong New Yorker, but I think that that tends to be the thing that people focus on, right? It's the concrete, which I think I say that verbatim in the episode, so stay tuned.
Wonderful. Excited to take this composting journey through New York City with you, Ale.
There's always lots of attention given to the loud, flashy bigness of New York City. The concrete, the steel, the crowds, the pounding hustle and bustle. The city that never sleeps, you know? But there are quieter pockets here too, spaces that foster moments of stillness and connection. I'm thinking of the gardens and urban farms that sustain local communities throughout the city, and I'm headed to one of those places today. I'm going to Earth Matter. It's a community-run farm and compost center located along the south edge of Governor's Island.
Did you say it was going to take for the Bay Ridge one?
Bay Ridge is going to be 21 minutes.
And is that to Governor's Island?
Governor's Island? No. Yes, it is. Yep.
Okay. It was
incredible. After a subway commute between North Brooklyn and Manhattan, I head to the ferry to catch a short ride across the New York Harbor. Places like Earth Matter and so many other gardens and farms in New York are a vital part of the city's ecosystem. They provide food, community, and support to many, especially in POC and immigrant neighborhoods. And in this era of climate crisis and environmental disaster, of rising costs of food and living, these spaces can make a big impact. I decided to go to Earth Matter because it's a learning space, too. Every year, they host an apprenticeship program with another organization called Green Thumb. Farmers and gardeners from across the city gather to learn about urban farming. And the primary framework for this program is composting. In fact, composting is given as much love and attention as the practices of planting, growing, and harvesting crops themselves. The 2023 Green Thumb Apprenticeship graduation ceremony is wrapping up as I arrive.
Anybody else want to share something they got out of this program?
Yeah, I think I learned that like temperature is important. Record keeping data is important when it comes to composting.
Right.
Yeah.
And the composting isn't actual soil. It's amendment to our soil. You know. Right. Yeah. Amendment to the soil. Very important.
Compost is communal.
I meet a few graduates there, including Amira Hawaja.
And I really feel like Green Thumb and Earth Matter, it was all about learning and creating your own spaces, your own opinions, creating your own way of doing things.
That flexibility was very important to Amira, because she saw how Green Thumb apprentices came from a bunch of different agricultural spaces. And having worn many hats throughout her career already, she could relate.
I was a cheesemonger for about 6-7 years. Brooklyn Grange, they have a school that teaches kids all about urban farming. And we had a rooftop farm, and then the pandemic started. And then I started working as a farmer's market manager because I had to do something. I was still happy because I was like, oh, I'm still involved with food. I was talking to farmers a lot and talking about seasonal stuff and whatnot.
Today, she's a cooking teacher for elementary school students in the Bronx. She's 35 years old, and her relationship to farming has evolved a lot throughout her life.
I'm also from Pakistan originally, and the state that I'm from is Punjab, and it's all agriculture. And so as a child, I was traveling a lot to go see my grandmother, who was outside of the city in another city, and you would have to drive to farmland and stuff. We had like mustard fields and rice and all sorts of beautiful stuff, and like orange trees and mango trees. I didn't really know a lot about composting. But, you know, my mom has always had a green thumb, and she's a big coffee drinker. So she had like a big basket, like a sieve, just sitting in the sink that would always have coffee grounds in it because she drinks like 3 cups a day. She would put it out in her roses, or she would put it out in whatever flowers that she was growing. So that was kind of like my real introduction to composting. I was like, oh, she's reusing her food. Wow. But when I grew up, I kind of forgot about that.
We used to have like a farm in Colombia, and when I remember my mother, she would grow vegetables, she would grow flowers. We are like 7 brothers and sisters. We all get involved with that.
This is Rodrigo Salazar, another apprentice who worked alongside Amira. At 65 years old, he's been gardening in New York City for the past 4 decades, and for years before that, in his home country of Colombia.
So my family, everything was around gardening. My parents, they moved to the United States before, like in 1967. So we were left with my grandma. In her backyard, she has like rosemary, she has oregano, she has something we call silver chayotes. For her growing those things, it was very important. We were like encouraged to do gardening. I thought it was a way to communicate with grandma. We collect things and then we go to the kitchen and we do some cooking with that. So it was more like, now that I think about it, it was like building that relationship, creating that communication with brothers, sisters, and grandma.
And Rodrigo says he composted in Colombia too as a kid, though
we didn't call it composting. So what we did is you eat the plantain, you keep the peel, you cut any pieces, and you put it back into the dirt, into the soil. You make a hole in the ground, and you throw all those organics in there. And then you mix it from time to time. And that's the way we did composting in Colombia.
When he was 20 years old, Rodrigo and the rest of his family moved to New York City. They lived in a house in Queens that had a small backyard where they grew flowers. But the soil wasn't very healthy, so it wasn't very good for growing vegetables. And the cold New York winters interrupted their gardening for half the year. It took Rodrigo time to adjust to the changes, but his love for this work never waned. He eventually moved to the Jackson Heights neighborhood, where he lived for more than a decade and joined local gardening projects there. Now, and for the past 3 years, Rodrigo has been a caretaker of the Long Island City Community Garden. He actually played a key part in bringing it to life.
There was only one person taking care of the garden. So I said, well, we need to open the garden. This is a place that the community needs to come inside. People, they're looking for this kind of spaces. So I started gathering people, and I ended up having like 50 members.
Rodrigo is often thinking about how to make that experience accessible and helpful for him and his neighbors. So is Amira. She's thinking about her students and how she can empower them both in the kitchen and in the garden, which brought them both to Earth Matter and to learning all about compost. Now, I say compost, and you're probably thinking of brown bins and food scraps, piles of loose eggshells and coffee grounds, apple cores and banana peels, raw vegetable skins and browning leafy greens. That's part of it for sure. This organic material decomposes, and added to soil, the compost acts as a natural fertilizer for plants and crops. But there are bigger lessons here too.
We had different conversations in Earth Matters. Every time that we meet, we start talking about how do you feel about composting. Most of the people, they was like, we're thinking about a cleaner future for everyone.
When I get to Earth Matter, I meet with Marissa De Dominicus. She's a co-founder of Earth Matter and its executive director.
Hello. Hi.
Marissa's dark wavy hair is pulled back in a low, loose ponytail, and some strays curl around her face. She's wearing a long sleeve shirt with the sleeves rolled up and a pair of rounded square glasses. Marissa has been doing this composting work for several decades at this point. A lot of what she does with Green Thumb Apprentices and other groups is about sharing what she knows about community compost operations.
We never say that composting is something that everybody can do easily, but we say it's the most accessible. It's something that everyone can do because we all eat and we can be responsible for that food scrap that we produce.
Good compost takes many forms. At home, you could try out some smaller scale methods. You can seal up your carbons and greens. You can leave them out in the open air. You can feed food scraps to some hungry worms. You can even do what Amira's mom used to do and add your morning coffee grounds to the herb plants sitting on your windowsill. Earth Matter composting takes a different, hotter approach. It's called thermophilic composting, where high temperatures kill pathogens and help material decompose.
So again, we say it's about a year that we need in order to make sure everything is stable. And you can tell that by a simple test, like a baggie test. If you put some compost and you seal it, and after 48 hours you open it and it smells like ammonia, that means there's still a lot of nutrients that aren't stable yet.
Marissa shows me around the Earth Matter space, and we walk up to mounds of black gold. Earth Matter's compost in progress. The youngest piles of compost are a lighter brown color, while compost that's been cooking for weeks and months takes on deeper shades of dark brown and black.
And what we're trying to do is create the conditions for the microorganisms to be able to eat each other up.
That's fungi and bacteria.
So it's 148 degrees inside of this pile of compost? Is that kind
yes.
of what it is?
I lean in for a closer look. I touch it. It's crumbly, with the slightest bounce to it. It doesn't smell at all like rot. It smells more like soil, but richer, deeper. Earth Matter processes more than 700 tons of organics a year. Their pressure-cooked compost is distributed along Governor's Island and New York City at large. It's also all over the Earth Matter site, lining their own community garden plots. Marissa was proud to show off the compost she's dedicated years of her life to. But she really lights up when we walk through these budding seedlings and crops, all of the potential life that this compost is meant to nurture. Today, the Earth Matter Garden has become a space where local farmers in the city can take agency over the plants and foods they grow and consume. Often, volunteers bring their personal connections and experiences to it. For example, Marissa looks after the Italian bed.
Ellen and I have a lemon tree, we have a bay leaf, we have grapes, geraniums, arugula, oregano. I just started fava beans. And of course, we'll have the San Marzano Italian tomato. And we're going to be doing jar tomato workshop in August. My aunt's coming to lead that. On the other side are more heritage beds. We have the, should we go and look?
Yeah.
And the stories continue.
What's been amazing is some people come as a volunteer, know nothing about farming. And this woman from the Philippines came because she wanted to help us with trilingual signage. Next year she came and she had the best garden. And she had never gardened before. Yeah. Here we have the Japanese bed in Tomoe. She's been with us since 2010 as an animal caregiver. She's 88 years old, and she's teamed up with a younger farmer, and they're doing Asian greens, shisho, Japanese eggplant. It's so pretty, isn't it? Yeah. And this is the African bed. They planted black-eyed peas, I guess they call them pigeon peas, last Saturday. Oh, and there's some coming up. We did have a Native American farmer currently not with us, so we're hoping someone else comes and we're holding the space for them. And so there's the three sisters. You can see the bean is starting to sprout. We'll be planting corn when it gets a little bit bigger, and then the squash. We have
these beds, of course, are all topped with fresh compost. Earth Matter is creating its own model of an inclusive closed-loop food cycle. And perhaps this self-sustained abundance is what compost can offer other gardens too. But spaces like these can still feel a little bit rare and hard to sustain in New York City. Many people here have often been denied access to composting resources like these. Amira has seen this firsthand.
The school that I work at is up in the Bronx, and I wanted these kids to have like a compost system in the school that I teach at. It's right on Southern Boulevard, really busy neighborhood. And so I asked one of the teachers, oh, where's the closest composting space over here? And they were like, oh, it's like a 30-minute walk on the other side. It's far. I just think that people feel like, oh, here they won't care. The population here or the people who live here don't care. So why should we bother? When that's not the case. Whenever I talk to people in my building or if I talk to my school kids or the teachers, you know, that I work with, they're into it, but the city doesn't provide it.
Rodrigo says that so many inequities in urban farming that he's experienced stem from misplaced priorities and the active neglect of other people's needs, especially in lower income places.
With the past department or elected officials pay more attention to this because there is not that many spaces for gardening. So the way we do gardening is like when you're walking on the street, you see an empty place, people are throwing garbage. So the way we do it, we start cleaning that spot and then we grow something. We don't ask anybody to give us permit to do that. We just go and take over. Especially right now that everything is so expensive. Like you go to the supermarket and before you can buy a lot of stuff with $20, now you have to pay $50. A lot of people, they don't have that money. That's why a lot of people, they go to those places to collect food.
That's one of the reasons I'm here, is to make the connections for people. They all came from the farm. They all had parents or relatives that used to grow things. But they don't. And so they see themselves removed. They see themselves isolated. They see themselves on a computer. And so it's a little harder to make the connection because they're not going outside and picking the cherry tomato out from the farm to eat for lunch on their homemade bread that they grew the wheat from and went to the mill.
Marissa has a point. I don't grow my own wheat to make my own bread, and I'm not so sure that's what I'd want to dedicate my whole life to either. But in exchange for that convenience, many of us sacrifice vital information about the food cycles that we're a part of. And that ignorance, multiplied across societies, can be really dangerous for ourselves and for the planet. We harm the environment by sending extra waste to landfills to burn into greenhouse gases. We deplete soil of nutrients and risk losing viable agricultural spaces, just like Rodrigo was talking about. We stop thinking about what we eat in a communal context, and so we deny fresh food to so many, especially communities of color, immigrants, and working class people. but there's a future where we can embrace our roles in a self-sustaining food cycle. And compost is part of that. It is a physical manifestation of renewal and regeneration. The food that feeds the people of New York City can also feed the land we stand on and grow from. Here is a natural phenomenon that tells us that the earth is willing to provide for us, if we are willing to try.
Even if you have never even touched a plant before, just come and help us. I think that that's really important to let people know that it's not this daunting thing, you know, it doesn't require like 8 years of farming experience. I think that's what really gets the community involved. That's what gets everyone involved. And yeah, that's really it.
Radical Nourishment is a project from Food Culture Collective and Heal Food Alliance. At Food Culture Collective, we're transforming the story of food to help us collectively reorient to food as life source, compost legacies of harm, and grow a culture of care. Heal Food Alliance is a national, multi-sector, multiracial coalition building collective power to transform our food and farm systems. Radical Nourishment is produced by our Ears in the Field fellows, as well as Zach Rosen and me, Natasha Monnatau. It's edited by Zach Rosen. To learn more about today's story, visit the links in our show notes.